This morning, let's turn our Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for this morning. I just thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters and the chance that we have, Father, just to seek after you this morning. God, I pray that you would just continue to reveal yourself through your word, Father. Speak to us this morning, and just really that we might just know more of who you are, Father. So all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now many of us are likely familiar with Psalms 23. David, the psalmist here, he begins with this imagery as God, the dependable shepherd over his flock. You know, this psalm was written while David was actually fleeing from King Saul. So he was in exile from his own nation, constantly under danger of attack and capture. He and his men were living off the land, and really they had no safe place to rest their head. And yet, we can see here from the very first verse that David says that God is the provider of his needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, both of these situations evoke images of peace and prosperity. You can see that, you can almost imagine, even as I was reading, you could almost imagine these Sound of Music-style hills, you know, full of lush grass. And, you know, it's actually particularly significant when David talks about quiet waters. This idea of these quiet watering areas is significant because David actually spent much of his childhood as a shepherd himself. So he knew that actually for sheep, they rely more on their hearing rather than their sight when they pinpoint where the location of predators. And so it's this idea that the sheep are able to relax as they drink without fear from attack. Now, there's also another interesting distinction that's made here. It says that the sheep are led to the water, but that they are made to lie down. In other words, the sheep will start drinking on their own once they are placed near the water. But when it comes to resting, the shepherd actually has to deliberately make them stop. Now, here's another interesting fact about sheep that you may not have known. And actually, all my information about sheep today came from a very interesting website, www.sheep101.com. So, you know, if you have more, if you'd like to know more, please go online there. But the interesting fact was that sheep actually will continue to walk. They will continue to follow the sheep in front of them until they are made to stop. In fact, they'll follow the sheep in front of them to the point of actually death even. There was a case in Turkey where over 400 sheep fell to their death, one after another, over a ravine, just following the sheep in front of them. And in many ways, and so we see that the shepherd must make their sheep stop. But this tendency to keep going forward, I feel like is something that is actually especially true of us here in Hong Kong. You know, we live in a culture that sort of glorifies busyness. You know, our escalators move really quickly. And even when you go into the elevator, you know, you have to push the close button at least 4 times before you make sure that the door is closing fast enough. You know, we live in such a busy life. We live in a competitive environment where we don't feel satisfied unless we're working harder than the person next to us. Where we don't feel like we're doing enough unless we're on this computer screen longer. Where we're there to catch the deal faster than our colleague. You know, I admit that, you know, even for myself, I'm actually guilty of this very same thing. I feel really good about myself. I feel a little bit of a thrill when I look at my schedule and I see, oh, my entire agenda is filled up for that entire day. You know, I open up my program, I open up my website, and I see there are blocks of color. And I feel accomplished. I feel like I'm doing something right by being as busy as this. You know, every day we want to have somewhere to go. We want to have something to do, someone to meet. And we're busy. We're busy and busy again, you know, without fully realizing, you know, much like these sheep that we're talking about, you know, we're just following examples around us. We're following sort of the trend of our society. And not just only people, but we also kind of act like the gadgets that we're also kind of surrounded with all the time. We try to be connected online. We're always looking at news sites. We're always trying to keep up with the latest things that are going on around us. And we actually think many times, I think for many of us, we think that like gadgets, we can actually turn our brains on and off. When I'm on, I'm on. When I'm off, I can just switch it off like a machine. Actually, as I was imagining this, it's almost like, I don't know if many of you know the Energizer battery. They used to have this old commercial. It was this pink bunny, sunglasses. He was hitting a drum and he'd walk. And the slogan went, the Energizer bunny, it keeps going and going and going. And I think that that's many ways we think of ourselves. We just keep I can keep going and going and going. And yet P. Sam mentions many times about being intentional about our Sabbaths, being intentional about our time of rest, that it is God's law that we take some time off, that we take times of rest. In fact, this idea of rest appears again and again throughout Scripture. Let me read for you something from Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 to 12, where it says, "You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from your labor, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. And the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves." Not only does God intend rest for us, but he also says here, rest for the slave, for the donkey, the ox, and in fact, even for the soil itself. And yet, when we look at a commandment like this, I think many times in our life, we look at it and we think, it's so arbitrary. You know, why do I need to rest, God? Why do I need to take the Sabbath? Well, I feel fine. I can keep going. I've been in the office for about 15 hours. I can go about another 15 more. You know, the law seems almost archaic, like it doesn't apply to me. You know, sure, you know, the Sabbath law is great. You know, I should keep it holy. I mean, that was great for maybe a stone tablet on Mount Sinai. But for my life now, for society now, for the world that we live in now, where we have instant data, constant updates, where we have Google Calendar, you know, it just seems like Sabbath is not as important. But it says in Mark 4, verse 27, it says that Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Let me say that again. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We see that God intended the Sabbath to be for us. It was not an arbitrary rule that he just made out of nowhere, but he made it specifically for us. Our God is not a God who needs to rest. You know, he doesn't grow weary. And yet by resting on the seventh day of creation, he modeled for us the sort of rest that he intended for us. You know, God calls us to rest for our sakes. It's actually for our good, our interest that he gave it, for our benefit. You know, in fact, if you look at many psychological studies, it shows that humans, you know, we're not as awesome as we think we are. You know, in fact, that human beings, we're not as good at multitasking as we think. We can't do a million things at once. And in fact, they say that actually, our attention span, our ability to focus on one particular task is about 90 to 120 minutes. That means an hour and a half to about 2 hours is the peak of how well we can focus on one task before actually we just start, our productivity just goes way down. And at that point, unless we get rest, unless we take that rest, we have to take it in order for us to get back to the full capacity of what we can do. Now, when I talk about rest, you know, when we talk about rest, we're not talking simply about just turning off our brains, like we said, the machines. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about entering into God's rest. How we must be diligent, we must be intentional in order to enter his rest. You know, P. Nate the other day during EMP, he mentioned that many of us, that we think that we're resting when we sit in front of a TV. However, when we talk about the rest that God intends for us, it's actually so much deeper than that. You know, there's a spiritual aspect of rest that we really have to recognize where, you know, true rest is not just about sitting down and not doing anything, but it's actually about a time of reflection, of praise, of thanksgiving, where both our bodies and our minds are renewed. You know, we can see, as we read before in Psalms chapter 23, it says, in verse 3, it says that David says that his soul was restored as a result of the rest that God gave him. You know, God calls us to rest. And he calls us to, when he calls us to rest, he takes us to a place and he says, here, you, lie down. And yet, are we listening to his commands? You know, I'm not a parent myself, but whenever I talk to parents, whenever I, you know, go over to a friend's house who has children, you know, I've witnessed with my own eyes, there's a battle that is waged every night, and it's called bedtime. And the excuses are always the same. You know, it's almost cliche. It's, I want to stay up. I'm not sleepy. You know, tell me a story. Tell me another story. You know, it's all these different things. They refuse to sleep. Even though for the parents, it's like, you need to go to sleep. If you don't sleep, you're going to be tired all day at school tomorrow. Or your sleep schedule is going to be off and I'm not going to be able to rest. You know, you want the child to sleep on time. It's for their own good. And yet still they refuse. And we think as adults, as mature adults, we think that we are more accomplished. You know, we think, you know, I'm the one who decides when I should rest. And yet God is calling. God, often he calls us to our own bedtime. You know, he knows us. He knows us as people. He knows that we are not machines, that we can't keep going on. He calls us to this rest. And yet, are we listening? You know, the shepherd, the good shepherd, are we trusting in him that he is preparing a safe place for us? Or are we so worried about our future? Are we so worried about the enemies that are without the gate, about not having enough in our lives? Are we trying to make ourselves safe by being self-reliant? So this morning, I just want us to spend some time to close our eyes. And, you know, as we continue to reflect on the rest that God is offering each of us today, you know, I think for many of us, we think that our lives are too busy to allow us to stop. We have too many things to do. Sorry, God. I don't have time right now. And yet God is the kind of shepherd who says that he will satisfy our needs so that we shall not want. You know, he asks us to trust in his direction, to follow his commands. Today he's calling us to rest in the green pastures that he has prepared, by the quiet waters that he leads us to, away from the noise of the city, the busyness, the fear that we have in our own hearts. He's asking us today to abide in him so that we might be restored. So as Sarah leads us into this time of worship, let's just really take the time to rest our minds, our souls, to let ourselves be renewed as God calls us, as he longs, just that through our praise and thanksgiving, that he longs to renew us. And so let's spend this time in worship.
Closes in. You are hope, you are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life. In you, death has lost its sting. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever. Will proclaim you are here, you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God, you are God. Of all else I'm letting go.
You are more,
you are more, you are more than my words will ever say. Creation will proclaim you are here, you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God, you are God. Of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name, Jesus. Of your love will always be enough, for nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign.
the Good Shepherd calls to us. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we fear no evil, for He is with us. As this morning, as we continue to meditate upon this psalm, let's just have some time of reflection and prayer, especially as I read through verses 5 and 6, you know, which talks about the goodness of the Lord. It says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this morning, let's just ask God right now to make the truth of these words just the reality of how we live our lives. Let's continue to pray for our church, for our community. Let's pray for those with cancer, those who are going through chemo, and those waiting for transplants. Let's really ask for God's hand of healing upon each of our brothers and sisters. Let's also continue to pray for those who are suffering from illnesses, but also need that word of salvation. Let's just really pray that God would not only come and heal their bodies, but He would also bring just healing to their souls. Let's also pray for those in our community who have infirmities, those who are sick, and really pray once again just for God to come and heal them. Let's also pray for those in our community who need a job, and that God would really continue to provide a place for them, and that even as they wait, that all our brothers and sisters would continue to trust in His provision. Turn out to our today's mission focus. Let's pray for our local ministries, local churches. Let's also pray for YWAM, Hong Kong, their sports services, Masters Beauty, Red Light District Outreach, Face to Face. Yeah, let's just lift up all these different ministries and really just ask that God would continue to bless these ministries in the community that's actually around us right now. Let's also pray for the missions committee. Let's pray for each and every one of our members that God will continue to lead them, continue to give them wisdom. Let's also pray for local outreach at our own church. Let's pray for our community center, for Agape, for the Homey Ministry, as well as SP Lights, and also the Prison Ministry. Let's also continue to pray for our city. Let's pray for our government, the wealth gap, revival, city on a hill, light to China, and really, really that God would continue to transform the city around us, and that He would also use us to transform. Let's also pray for the different SP activities tonight. Let's pray for McCain House Church as they meet. Let's pray for IEP meeting, and as well as college group. And let's just really pray for these activities that God would really just continue to work through them, that there would just really be, that His presence would rest heavily with each and every one of these ministries. Let's pray for the women's retreat that's starting tomorrow and going into Sunday. Let's just really pray that just through this, that the sisters would really have a good time of fellowship, that also that they would just be able to encounter God just through the different seminars, through the different talks, through the time of just throughout this weekend. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. Help us to continue to seek after you. Help us to continue to seek after your rest, God. Lord, that we want to trust in you even more, Lord, that when you call us to rest, that we rest. When you call us to go, that we would go, God. We just want to be a people who are obedient to you, Father. So, Lord, thank you. Continue to be with us throughout this day, Lord. And all this we pray in Jesus' name.